Now, you've had, what, about 11 commercials in the Super Bowl, and you have one this year.
Yep.
So what's the product?
Starry, which is the new lemon-lime soda that's sweeping the nation. Old Spice is in it, and so we expect a ton of reaction.
Old Spice or Ice Spice?
Excuse me, Ice Spice, thank you. It's a little early here, but Old Spice.
Old Spice is Boomer's nickname.
I got my body wash.
By the way, we might have just set up next year's Super Bowl. Boomer and Ice Spice could be a remarkable spot. A remarkable spot.
Attention is the number one asset.
Gary, thanks for being with us. How are you this morning?
Boys, I'm well. It's good to see you. And I'm happy to be here.
You know, Gary, I got to tell you, you are Mr. Positive. I mean, you are optimistic about everything. That's one of the reasons why so many people love you and love to hear you talk. And you always come at everything with this rosy attitude, which I totally appreciate.
Practical.
No, I know it's all practical,
but I
totally appreciate that. The people I work with on this radio station are totally pessimistic about everything.
Well, good news. I'm pessimistic about the Jets. So there is one common place that I understand the concept of cynicism, pessimism, and concern.
All right, so you're walking into a hornet's nest, I'm just telling you.
Well, listen.
I try my best to lift their spirits and everything else, but it's almost impossible.
So take us through your emotions beginning of the season, four plays in, Aaron Rodgers and the Achilles. How did you react?
Let's take it back a couple minutes before that. I looked over to my brother AJ and I said, is Vinny the honorary captain? And, you know, literally the only other time that the mainstream media universally thought the Jets had a real shot was 99, coming off the 98 AFC Championship game. We loaded up with all those guys, Atwater and Eric Green and all those guys, and obviously, Vinny was out for the year in that first game. And so the fact that even I took note of that, and then when Aaron went down on the fourth play, and then when he sat down, I'm like, he's out for the year. This was it. And I was like, I'm just a bad human being for bringing him
so
into this
world.
So you
do have some negativity in your life.
It's the one place that makes me understand how people think about the real world. To your point, I'm practically optimistic. I think there's always a way, especially, by the way, for anyone who's listening to this. You live in America, in this world of the internet and social media, like we were talking before. Yeah. Like, there's unlimited opportunity. And if you decide it's bad, then it's bad. And if you decide it's good, it's good. But I can't control Jets football. That's a whole different genre.
That's the reality of your life. So Gio was talking about everything that you're involved in. I know you've had, what, about 11 commercials in the Super Bowl, and you have one this year.
Yep.
So what's the product?
Starry, which is the new lemon-lime soda that's sweeping the nation. Old Spice is in it, and so we expect a ton of reaction.
Old Spice or Ice Spice?
Excuse me, Ice Spice, thank you. It's a little early here, but Old Spice.
Old Spice is Boomer's nickname.
I got my body wash.
By the way, we might have just set up next year's Super Bowl. Boomer and Ice Spice could be a remarkable spot. A remarkable spot.
Yeah,
okay. So 30 seconds for $7 million a spot.
I think it's underpriced. What I do for a living at VaynerMedia, our ad firm, is try to analyze what's underpriced and overpriced media buying. Social media dominates because it's not a set price. You bid on it. And so there's a lot of angles, a lot of ways to kind of day trade attention. In traditional media, there's floor pricing, a billboard, newspaper, television, radio. But to actually get people to consume it, so much media is spent on how many might hear it, might see it. Super Bowl is must-see TV for the commercial itself. As a matter of fact, a lot of this Taylor Swift crowd normally just watches for the commercials. They're going to watch the game this time.
Right, they're going to watch the game. They're going to want to see the reactions
from her,
especially if her boyfriend does something
he did two weeks ago
in Baltimore.
And he will do something. It's
interesting. You talk about this. So
yes.
I actually, for the last 13 years, have hosted a show on CBS called Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials.
Yes, I'm aware.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's an hour show, and we're re-showing all these commercials that you've seen before.
It also rates well.
It's always the highest rated in its slot, so it's great. I don't think it has more to do with Danny Rua than it does me, I will be honest, because she's great. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Tony Taranto, one of the guys who sells the ads for CBS, to hear you say that it's underpriced, he's right now sticking like a knife in his eyeballs. I could have got $10 million for this.
I think they're underpriced. I mean, when I look at what the Fortune 500 companies spend on all sorts of different activities, millions of dollars that don't touch a fraction of the potential of actual consumption, I think it's a huge opportunity. Look, it's a lot of money. It's only $7 million to place it. Then you got to make it. These celebrities cost money. The production company, us agencies make a little bit of money.
Do you have a celebrity in your commercial?
Yes, Ice Spice.
Ice Spice. Okay. So when you decide, do you know when it's going to be playing?
Yes, I think it's in the first half. But the way they do it is based on series. So as you can imagine, as someone who's played football, some drives last longer than others. So it's either late first, early second quarter.
Gary V in studio with us this morning. Thanks for getting up so early and coming down and hanging with us. I want to get your take on what Bud Light has gone through and now their approach, where, of course, there was all the controversy and the route that they had with their previous marketing director and getting Devin Mulvaney involved. And now they have swung the pendulum the other way.
Yes.
Peyton Manning, Shane Gillis, you know, the testosterone city.
UFC and everything.
So what, from your standpoint, your expertise in this field, are they doing the right thing?
Look, the reality is nobody who's driving right now is confused that America, unfortunately, has gotten way too extreme blue and way too extreme red. And the reality is we need to get back to purple to get on track because people are distracted. So in those high emotions, just like high emotions in sports, there's going to be things that happen. So they adjust to, look, businesses are in the business of doing business. So they start getting affected with negative sales. And so what are they going to do? They're going to create scenarios. But the reality is that right now, we're in such a hornet's nest for all brands, and all of them are treading lightly because they don't want to get caught up in this political tornado. And really, in 2024, we've got an election year. So this is probably going to be the most conservative content you'll see from people. As far as have they done the right thing, anytime you get punched in the face, you know, you've got to react to it. And it's always a challenge to get up and hang on and finish the fight. And so from my perspective, they've done a really strong job of weathering the storm.
Of trying to come back.
100%.
They lost $27 billion in market cap.
It's insane. And so, look, I mean, the reality is like, you know, these brands are definitely a little bit more timid because they don't want to deal with either side.
Yeah, but Bud Light's not being timid. I mean, they're trying to get back into the frat house brand, according to the previous marketing director.
But I would say this. I'll use the fighting analogy again. They were quiet in the upfront properly. When you get knocked down in the second round, you're holding on in the late second round, third round, you're trying to get your stuff together. And by the sixth, seventh round, you can go back on the offense. That's how I see it from afar.
I follow you on Instagram. You're always talking about this wine situation that you have.
Wine text?
Yeah. And I haven't gotten involved with this, but
why not?
Well, that's
unfortunate.
I'm too busy, but I want to.
You're too busy to get a text on an $80 wine that we sell for $20, and you can just hit the number 3, and it comes to your home. That's the reason it exploded. It's literally the easiest way to buy wine.
Yeah, I had no better excuse. I need to get involved with this.
Thank you.
But did you hear this idea? This is genius.
Yes.
Absolute genius. So
friction. So the way I think about everything is friction. I launched winelibrary.com for my dad's liquor store in Jersey in 96 because I thought it was better to buy wine. And the first 3-4 years, everybody made fun of me. They're like, why wouldn't I just go to the wine store? And I'm like, because buying on the internet's better. And it took a while. Cheaper, better. And so, yeah, I mean, I think everything when I think about consumers is eliminating friction. Got it?
Yeah. Yes.
Speed. So look how many people buy a $28 bagel in New York City. You know how many people listening right now bought a $28 bagel because they ordered it on Postmates, paid the VIG, paid the delivery fee? Yeah. Like, people will pay for convenience.
Yeah, convenience, 100%. So let me ask you about the wine.
Yes.
I'm kind of a wine connoisseur, and I turned Gio into one as well.
Oh, I like this. We need to get together and drink some wine.
By the way, real quick,
I have to say this because my friend Al will be very upset. We need to get together and drink wine. We must talk about that Eagles game. The Jets-Eagles game that you played in 93 is talked about with me and my friends minimally once a month. That's how much we hate Eric Allen.
Yeah, that was the Eric Allen interception return. And there were two penalties on the return that should have been called, but they weren't called.
And by the way, Johnny Mitchell to this day is one of my most favorite underrated Jets talents. That dude was talented.
I love Johnny Mitchell. So much so, in fact, that my last year playing with him, on Saturday night, I would room with him.
To make sure he knew he would play on Sunday.
Well, I wanted to make sure that he knew what he was doing on the field.
Pure talent.
Because there was times where I would drop back and he's supposed to be here. Right. But you know, this is what's happening between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to push it forward to this Super Bowl. When I watch their tape, I'm not really sure what they're doing. I don't know how they are running their offense. I don't know what. It seems like Travis is looking at something down the field and then reacting to it, and then Patrick reacting to him, which is like a telepathic way of doing things.
Yes.
I was one of these quarterbacks. I needed to know where my guys were going.
Yeah.
And I remember early when I started with Johnny Mitchell, who you're talking about, yes. was an incredible talent.
Yes.
He could throw the ball from the 50-yard line on his knee, right-handed to the goal line, and then go on the other knee and throw it left-handed to the goal line. That's the kind of athlete he
was.
This
was a tight end, by the way, for everybody's listening.
Right, from Nebraska, of all places.
And he came out young.
Yeah, he did come out young. So I got him when he was really young.
Yes.
All right, so there were times where I call a play, and he was supposed to go down 12 yards and go out.
Yes.
Turn out to the sideline. Because we had a guy coming inside. It's concepts.
I get it.
And you're trying to, you know, break the field down and make the defenders have to jump on somebody. And then you have to try to anticipate what the defender is doing, depending on what your guys are doing.
Yep.
And about five times in a row, instead of going out, he would go in. And he would go in because he didn't see anybody in there. And, you know, he had a very funny voice. And he'd come back in a huddle. He goes, "Hey, Booms, I was open. You got to throw me the ball." And I'm like, "Johnny, you can't go there because I'm not expecting you to be there."
Back to how talented he was. He used to, like, chop block, go on the ground, and then get back up and get open for you.
He was ridiculous how good he was. But, you know, and unfortunately, it didn't last long enough.
I know it didn't.
And then, you know, that last year that I was here, Richie Kotite was our coach, and we did not have a tight end coach.
Right, because right.
I don't know why we didn't have a tight end coach, but we didn't. And, you know, he's going to be one of our more important players. And we drafted Kyle Brady out of Penn State.
I remember, and did not take Warren Sapp. And trust me, I remember.
We were talking about Warren Sapp this morning.
Yes, yes, remember that exactly moment.
Right. Kyle actually had a good career. He had a very good career, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer like Warren Sapp was.
No, he wasn't. And we already had tight end.
Yes, we did.
So you were about to say that you're a wine connoisseur. You're
going to ask Gary Vee.
Let me
ask you a question. Some of my favorite wine, right? And is Sea Smoke. I also like
Noir.
Kistler, like the Kistler brand.
Do you like Costa Brown as well?
I do like Costa Brown very
much. See what I did there, Gio?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm showing my Jets and wine knowledge on the show this
morning. I love this.
Arista?
Yep, Noel.
All right, so is this all available through you or no?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you just named a lot of the higher in demand, which is why I jumped on Costa Brown. What we focus on is Santa Rita Hills and these places where you're buying these Pinot from. There's a lot of $80, $90 Pinot Noirs in Sonoma and Russian River and Santa Rita and these places that you're buying from that aren't good at marketing. But the wine's remarkable.
Yes, it
is. So you're paying for the ratings and the demand.
Uh-huh.
And so we're able to find $70, $80 Pinots and sell them for $29.99.
I like that.
That's exactly why winetext.com blew up, Jeff.
That is right. Man, I tell you, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
can I be on like once a week and talk about like nerdy Jets things that have happened? I feel like a lot of the people that are listening, they like that.
Oh, sure.
Nerdy Jets.
All you have to do is listen to the afternoon show. There's a lot of nerdy Jets talk
there.
Right, exactly.
Let's talk for Jets for one more second. Offensive line, another receiver. I think, you know, obviously, I kind of like this Jets season coming in now because now everyone's razzing. Last year at the Super Bowl, everybody's hyping it. Are you going to get Aaron, all this? Obviously, all the hype. Now, everyone's like, even if everything looks good, I think America has learned how the Jets stuff plays out. So I like a little bit more of the underdog thing. And I think they're not as far away because they've got a lot of pieces. They've just got to get that offensive line
going. Need their quarterback. And the quarterback makes the offensive line better.
Of course.
I will tell you that Patrick Mahomes has been brilliant through this playoff run. They don't have a great offensive line, but their offensive line has gotten better because they ran the ball.
Yep.
But if you notice, very few pre-snap penalties.
I see it.
And the reason for that is because the guy behind center is telling everybody.
I know it.
And that's hopefully what you're going to get from Aaron Rodgers.
I've listened to both of you at nausea in the morning talk about, you know, number two and what his impact was on the offensive line. I've listened and listened and listened. And look, it's real life stuff. And the reality is Tippmann looks like he can play. Vera Tucker needs to stay healthy, but if he plays.
But those are two really good draft picks, by the way.
Really
people
good.
People don't understand that.
I agree.
All they look at is Mekhi Becton. They look at the other side. They can't seem to get somebody
Right.
But, you know, this happens to every team, throughout the year.
Rob Saleh, where do you stand with your head coach right now?
Very pro.
You like Rob Saleh?
I do.
He is too positive.
He's not too positive.
No,
by the way. No, I'm not too positive. First of all, let's not forget, Vayner Sports is a sports agency my brother AJ and I run. We rep DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner.
Okay.
We rep Zonovan Knight, who was a running back for them a couple years ago. I'm on the inside. A lot of these dudes are my friends.
Yeah.
Look, you know this. When things aren't working, I mean, look at how you guys talked about Brian on the Giants side. He was a genius 2 years ago, and people want him fired for Belichick this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke.
Well, that's not us.
No, I listen to you. I listen to you guys. I know you do. I've heard.
But I would say this going into this coming season.
I'm aware.
And I don't think they're much better than they were like 2 years ago when he first got here.
They stink.
Well, you could say that.
The Giants stink.
All right. So, but now.
Let's be honest. All right. So what happens? New York, the Giants stink.
What happens? What happens if they have a bad year this coming year?
When?
What do you think is going to happen?
I think there's going to be a lot of heat. And it's too bad he's a good coach.
And what is the Giant fan or who is the Giant fan going to want?
They're going to want Belichick, of course. But the Giant ownership, and I hate to say it, it's a stable, strong sitch there, and they're able to analyze if they've got good coaches or not. They've shown that in the past. They've had these weird runs where they've gotten a good one, a couple bad ones, a good one. Look, I think the guy can coach, but look, the Giants stink. No, this is important to understand. They're not a good team. They're really not.
And they have a lot of
holes.
A lot of holes.
They stink.
Yep.
I'm very passionate about the Giants stinking, I can see. I thought you were supposed to be positive.
This is Bizarro Gary Boomer.
Okay.
In Jetsland. I mean, if there was film on how I acted at Jet games, there's a one Jet Steeler game. A 90-year-old guy is coming up the stairs wearing a 6-time Super Bowl jacket. And the Jets stunningly beat the Steelers for no reason in a season that they didn't have a good season. And I yell at the guy. I'm like, hey, old man, you're finished, right? And everybody kind of giggles or thinks it's a little weird because he's quite elderly. And then my brother looks at me and he goes, if people knew what you actually meant, I wasn't even talking about the game. Like, I get very bad. I'm a bad guy when it comes to football.
I can't believe you're hate-shaming a guy, a football fan that is passionate like you are.
Well, because I don't want – you know how the Steeler fans travel, Boomer.
Yes.
They come to your stadium. They wave their flags. They're entitled. I hate Steeler fans.
Man, hot take Gary V this morning. I love it.
I'm ready for the NFL preview show. Let me know. Book me. I'm ready for this upcoming season.
This is tremendous. All right. You got 8 million things here going on here. So I'm going to have you, because you were kind enough to show up so early.
Yes.
What else would you like to get out there that you were involved in?
Honestly, it's Gary VEE on social media and every platform. The reason I enjoy what I do is I was born in the Soviet Union. I grew up with nothing. We moved to Queens in a studio apartment, half the size of your studio, and lived with 7-8 family members. I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. And so making content to show people angles. Right now, a lot of businesses listening should be posting on Facebook, but they think it's out of fashion, but it's got tons of organic reach, right? Telling people how to use LinkedIn, because a lot of people listening right now don't love their job, and they don't realize that if they posted 10 times on LinkedIn about what they know about their industry, they would have offers for new jobs paying them more. So I've got plenty of things that I'm passionate about. Thank you for allowing me to talk about it. But my preference is to promote, come and consume some of this practical optimism. I'm not talking about delusion. It takes hard work. There's a lot of things you have to do. But I prefer that people think they can versus what's going on in society right now, because they're pushing all this noise of you can't.
Mm. Gary, it's great to see you. Great talking to you. We'll have you on again soon.
Cannot believe you brought up that game. I just cannot believe you brought up that game.
Bro, that game destroyed me.
What about the spike game? Why not bring that game up?
I'll tell you why. That game's been brought up a lot. We were up 21-0 in that Eagles
game. Yes, I know we were.
And we were 2-1.
Yes.
And it felt like okay.
Yep.
And you guys had a good team, and it like that was an important game.
Yeah.
That was a swing game.
What are you doing to me? You realize I got to deal with him the rest of the day, and now you have these terrible memories that you're now.
Gio, I didn't want to bring it up, but Al texted me 39 times before coming on. He's like, "Please, can you just like? It's important. This is like we bring this game up. The first game of the football season this year. We'll be
Al, your buddy, not Al, our producer.
No, no. And Playa's listening. They're all listening. They love you to death. I'm happy that we got to talk about it.
But you know, the amazing thing is that it's really you that is here and not somebody else that Al thought was you.
That's right.
Because Al has trouble booking people.
I booked the wrong Randy Moss. Did you know there's a Randy Moss that talks about horse racing?
No, is this real?
Yeah. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the white Randy Moss.
Yeah, I love the white Randy Moss.
It's amazing. You gotta watch the video. It's hilarious.
I'm gonna watch it.
Live on the air. We realized
really
we booked the white Randy Moss. Gary, thanks, man.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It.
Hey, great to see you, brother.
Great to see you, bro.